Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Standing by on deck is Doris Kearns Goodwin, the presidential historian, to talk about the State of the Union coming up on Wednesday this week, Barack Obama's first address to a joint session of Congress and the American people. Here's a check on leading stories at 40, coming up to 48 minutes after the hour. The president lays out his agenda tomorrow night during his State of the Union address. Plans include tighter rules for Wall Street, job creation, lifting the ban on gays in the military. More on that in just a few minutes. How about your take? What's the state of our union in six words or less?
My name is Bob from Rutherford, New Jersey. My six-word take on the state of the nation: think it's bad now, change majorities.
Give us your State of the Union address, or make it your six-word response at 877-8MY-TAKE, or you can post it to thetakeaway.org. The president now says Ben Bernanke is the best guy for the job as Federal Reserve Chairman and expects him to be confirmed. This week we'll find out if the Senate agrees when they vote on whether to give him a second four-year term. Senator Richard Durbin says he should be approved.
He is battle-tested, and I think that we need his steady hand and his good mind to bring us forward out of this recession to a growing economy.
It's a bit of a squeaker. Bernanke's current term expires on Sunday.
Moving abroad, Haitian President René Préval made an urgent appeal yesterday for 200,000 tents to provide shelter for those left homeless following the massive earthquake. In solidarity with the victims, he'll move into a tent on the lawn of the collapsed National Palace in Port-au-Prince. In the past half hour in Afghanistan, NATO says a blast hit near a U.S. military base in the capital. We'll get you the latest as it becomes available. In Iraq this morning, a suicide car bomber killed at least 18 and injured dozens more in a strike against a forensic crime lab in Baghdad. Yesterday, several hotels were also hit by suicide attacks. And finally, a big upset in sports this morning. Defending champ Rafael Nadal is out of the Australian Open in the quarterfinals after retiring due to tendonitis in his knee. Those are some of the stories that we're following this morning.
The state of the union.
The state of our union.
State of the union.
My fellow Americans, the state of our union is
going to be fine.
Very, very public.
A complete disaster.
A little more honest.
Business as usual.
Part of our coverage of the State of the Union week, the president addressing the nation on Wednesday night. Doris Kearns Goodwin, presidential historian and author of the book Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, along with many other books, joins us from her home. Good morning, Doris.
Good morning, John. I'm glad to be with you.
It's great to talk to you again. First of all, how does this shape up historically as a moment? It seems to me just a few weeks ago, Barack Obama had enormous momentum. He was working with the Congress. He bet on the 60-vote majority. It led him down there in Massachusetts. Can you recall a reversal, and it seems to be a reversal, like this in the past?
Well, not in such a period of time, you know, just like weeks before the State of the Union. Although when you think about some of the other dramatic moments of difficulty for presidents, this one is much less difficult than Clinton having to go to the State of the Union, you know, almost days after he announced, "I did not have sex with that woman,"
yeah,
or having to stand up there when the impeachment trial was already underway. So, I mean, I think he still got a chance to shift the tone. And in some ways, you know, Churchill once said after he lost the election in 1945 that his wife had said to him, "Don't worry, it's a blessing in disguise." And he said, "Well, if so, the disguise is pretty well disguised."
That's great.
Maybe this Massachusetts thing will have mobilized him to really focus on whose side he's on and let the country get much simpler understanding of what he stands for.
In a sense, Doris Kearns Goodwin, the president bet on him being able to work with Congress, a bet that Lyndon Johnson made when he passed the civil rights legislation. But is the Congress of Barack Obama the same as the Congress of Lyndon Johnson, either structurally, or certainly the personnel have changed?
That's a really good question, John, because I think it's true that he came in with two promises. One, that he was going to change the tone of the way the Congress and Washington worked, in other words, be a more bipartisan leader. And two, he had some real substantive goals that he wanted to achieve in health care, financial reform, and job creation. And I think what the experience of the year has shown was that it wasn't able to produce the bipartisan creation. And I'm not sure that that was his fault. He certainly did go after it in those first couple months as hard as he could have. Then the time comes, you decide, if I can't get it, then I still have to go forward in a different way. And the way Lyndon Johnson finally got the Civil Rights Act through was he let a filibuster go on for 57 or 67 days before they were finally able to get cloture. You know, and it may be that that's the kind of toughness that you have to bring to bear.
Wow.
Give up on the idea that you're going to get these guys to go along, but say this is important for the country. Let everybody see those guys talking and reading phone books and not going to the bathroom
right.
in order to prevent financial reform, for example. I don't think you should do it on health care. There's not enough agreement on it. But if there's real agreement on financial reform, you present that in the State of the Union, and then you say, okay, we're going to fight for it. You filibuster, let the country see that you're not really for changing Wall Street.
And that was even in the pre-C-SPAN era, and we should remind people that Lyndon Johnson had a generation of political favors grown up from his time in the Congress as a congressman and a senator. Barack Obama wasn't even through his first term there in the Senate. But let's talk tone for a second. Doris, listen to these three statements from Barack Obama, and let's talk for a moment. First, here's a kind of a scary remark from the president.
I'd rather be a really good one-term president than a mediocre two-term president.
And here's Barack Obama being very natural with the Diane Sawyer on ABC News.
When your poll numbers drop, you're an idiot. When your poll numbers are high, you're a genius. If my poll numbers are low, then I'm cool and cerebral and cold and detached.
He also described himself as getting a bit gray in his first year. And finally, here's something that's self-deprecating, self-critical.
We've been so focused on just getting things done that I think that we stopped giving voice to the frustrations that people have about the process here in Washington.
Has Barack Obama found a tone, or does he feel a little all over the map? And I picked those clips deliberately. Doris Kearns Goodwin?
Yeah, I think this address, more than many others, tone will matter. And I think there has to be some sense that the people feel he's on their side against the special interests. I mean, the problem in going for so long for health care and the way it finally got done, to the extent that the bills were produced by each house, was that it did seem like a triumph of a lot of little special interests, even though the ultimate result is probably a good thing. So I think the key for him now, every president has to make the general people feel, I'm on your side. It doesn't mean he has to scream and yell about Wall Street, although he has to show strength on it, but it means that he has to make people remember the person who ran that won that election in 2008, mm-hmm. where people felt, he'll be fighting for me. I think there has to be a fighting tone. I mean, usually State of the Unions are judged not so much by the performance, even though that's what we'll do the day after, or the popularity of the words, but by whether the president is able to mobilize Congress, the interest groups, and the people to fight for his goals.
Well, that takes us right into history, and resolve a mystery for me. You know, we are always told that in the first off-year election, the president loses seats in Congress, but Franklin Roosevelt, famously, in his off-year election, his first one, gained seats, and his whole approach in talking to the American people was to actually prosecute the financial leaders of the previous administration, to go after the banks, to take a hyper-populist view. Is that even open to Barack Obama?
I don't know. I mean, it took a while even for Franklin Roosevelt to be willing to take that view, because at first he too tried, despite the 100 days, which we remember, where both sides were willing to do something because the Depression was so deep. He tried in the first couple of years to have business go along with him. Some of his early programs had business support, but then they didn't follow through. Finally, they started calling him a traitor to his class, and then finally he gets up and he says, I welcome their hatred.
Right.
It's hard to imagine Obama saying that. You have to have that willingness inside, but I think he could say, if he talks about financial reform and the need to not allow the banks to do, not just punish them, and that doesn't make sense, but not allow them to do what they did to get us into this again, he's got to show that kind of willingness to say, okay, they're against me, that's fine, I'm on your side.
I'm a big fan of your books. They are big, your books. Lots of words in them.
Big sometimes.
You want to take a shot at our 6 words or less State of the Union?
Oh, God, no.
There, you heard it there. The author herself, Doris Kearns Goodwin, presidential historian. Oh, God, no. That's actually good. That's pretty good.
1,000 pages because I couldn't do the 6 words.
The author of Team of Rivals, Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, and other great books. Thank you, Doris.
What about you? Can you do it in 6 words or less? Give us your State of the Union speech at 8778MYTAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. We're going to be talking with guests like Doris Kearns Goodwin's and General David Petraeus. What do you think?
Hi, this is Gretchen in Boston with my State of the Union. Extraordinary privilege and poverty must work harder.
And on our Facebook page, Laura writes, visionary president hamstrung by constipated Congress. There's actually medicine for that kind of thing. And Rebecca replies, I agree with Laura.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Four words.
That's four words.
Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE or post it to our site, thetakeaway.org.
Do you agree with Laura?
Disagree, right? And while you're there, look for our continuing coverage on Haiti. We have a dispatch from Takeaway intern Eleanor Miller. She went to Haiti to volunteer at a hospital there. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.